Welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are now about 60 days out, just 2 months from the Winter Olympics in Beijing. And China says the worldwide spread of the Omicron COVID-19 variant is a concern for organizers of the upcoming Olympics, but it remains confident the games will be held on schedule come February. A foreign ministry spokesperson this week said Omicron would, quote, certainly bring some challenges in terms of prevention and control, but did point to China's experience in controlling widespread infection since the pandemic began in Wuhan back in 2019. The world continues to seek answers as to the whereabouts and condition of Chinese tennis player Peng Shuai, who disappeared not long after accusing a Chinese government official of sexual assault. She since appeared in public, but a statement by the European Union on the appearance says, quote, it does not ease concerns about her safety and freedom, end quote. The EU is demanding the Chinese government provide verifiable proof of the tennis star's safety, well-being, and whereabouts, and is urging a fair and transparent investigation into her allegations of assault. To date, there have been no formal protests by any nations related to the upcoming games in Beijing. However, last week, President Biden said the U.S. was considering a diplomatic protest. He did not elaborate. This week, the World Professional Tennis Tour announced it is suspending all tournaments in China and Hong Kong over concerns about Shuai. Also this week, a judge in Brazil sentenced former head of the Brazilian Olympic Committee, Carlos Arthur Neusman, to 30 years and 11 months in jail for allegedly buying votes from the International Olympic Committee to secure a bid for Rio de Janeiro to host the 2016 Olympic Games. The 79-year-old was found guilty of corruption, criminal organization, money laundering, and tax evasion. He's added to a growing list of people convicted for bribery related to those Olympic Games. The news reopens old wounds for John Murray, who was the chief bid officer for the Chicago 2016 Olympic bid. Chicago, of course, lost that bid to Rio.
We started the planning for the bid in early 2006, very quietly with the mayor's office. And one of the first things we did was do an assessment to see if Chicago could win. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest obstacles was whether or not Rio was in the race. And they had just finished a 2012 race with New York, and Rio had been kicked out in the technical phase. There's two phases of the bid, not to get too deep into it, but they've been kicked out in the technical phase because they were just not ready infrastructure-wise. And they hadn't done anything to improve that, so we were confident that they would be kicked out again during that applicant city phase. In June of 2008, halfway through the bid process, the technical scores came back, and Rio was once again below the bar in technical scores, and the executive committee of the IOC said, well, we're going to let them go anyways and go forward into the candidate city phase. And that was a blow to us because we started to see the writing on the wall that there was someone, you know, there was a thumb on the scale mm-hmm. from an IOC perspective favoring Rio. We still thought we'd have a chance, and we didn't realize how corrupt it was. But we started to have suspicions.
He says as they got closer to the announcement of the 2016 games back in 2009, they were hearing more rumors of corruption, but they couldn't do anything about it. In this week's Athlete Spotlight, we talk with a Chicago area native figure skater, Jason Brown, who's eyeing his second Olympic performance. He made the 2014 team, was the first alternate on the 2018 team. He comes into 2022 with a new attitude on competing and on life.
What's different between Jason Brown 2022 versus Jason Brown 2018, whether it's mentally, whether it's physically, emotionally, where are you at as a competitive skater now, as opposed to where you were 4 years ago?
I mean, I'm completely different, I think, entirely, mentally, physically, emotionally, the way I approach things. I think as we mature, you know, not just in the sport, but really, I went from 23, now I'm 26, turning 27 this month. So I'm, you know, you just take a lot of the experiences along the way, and you're able to apply them, and you're able to kind of continually gain more perspective. So I think that's something that I've really been able to do in these last 4 years, really look at what worked, what didn't work, what do I need to, you know, how do I get to that goal? You know, and I think it's all for me, it's about learning and growing and kind of figuring out a new path to success, because I think the one prior didn't work.
Are there disadvantages, though, to being so aware now? I mean, before you'd probably just go out and skate, right? And you wouldn't even think about it. And then you'd go back and realize, oh, I should have done this, this, and this. And now when you hit the ice, you're thinking, okay, I got to do this. I got this. I get like, you know, there are more steps you're probably taking now than you were 4 years ago in your preparation.
100%. I think with age, I think it's kind of that, analogy where people talk about like, you need to learn a skill young, because then when you're older, you start to like analyze, like, how is this possible? Does this make sense? You go through all these thought processes of like how ridiculous something is when you break it down, that when you're younger, you just like throw yourself into whatever, you know, you do without question. So yeah, definitely. The mind is constantly going. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned in the last 4 years is just like the importance of mitigation. Like, how can I mitigate the and kind of understand what I need to know and then push it aside? And how can I do the preparation where I can feel like, you know, my bases are checked, or I've, you know, checked certain boxes, and then I can really focus on what I need to focus on. And so it is more about, the older you get, you're able to analyze so much more and you have that capacity. And it's just really trying to figure out, how can I use that to my advantage rather than let it psych me out?
You know, in sports, it varies. You know, beach volleyball players play till they're 40, and that's probably at their prime. Gymnasts are, you know, aged out by the age of 18. I mean, where are you at kind of in the spectrum of figure skating, men's figure skating specifically?
Yeah, honestly, I fall somewhere in between. The sport is progressing in such an incredibly fast rate, and the what's expected of us, all the athletes from all the different disciplines, has just skyrocketed in the last few years. So I like kind of fall between these two generations where the technical side of our sport is just taking off. We're like a generation above, it wasn't nearly, people weren't nearly expected to do as much as they were doing prior to what we are expected of now. So it's interesting because I'm kind of in that, a mix of trying to focus on doing what I do well, the best of my ability, and really kind of emphasizing and capitalizing on that, while also trying to push myself to try all these new things to keep up with the younger generation coming up. So it's a little bit of both, but I have to be honest, I feel stronger than I ever have. I really love the team that I'm around. I guess that's how you should, I guess, feel going into an Olympic year. So it's also that weird time where, no, I really do feel really strong. I really feel prepared. I'm really excited. So at this moment, I definitely feel like I could even go for another couple years, but then obviously there are days where I'm like, oh my gosh, like we're feeling it.
Do you feel added pressure in your second cycle here? I mean, your name's been out there quite a bit. You've been on the international stage before. Do you feel like, I don't want to, you know, bring it up to what we saw with Simone Biles, but I think that the pressure and a lot of the expectations and hype did get to her at some point. I mean, do you feel that, or are you able to make that kind of disappear?
You know, 100% I feel that. I have to say, so I went to the Olympics in 2014. And then for me, 2018 was kind of where the pressure got to be too much. And I did crumble under the pressure. So, I mean, I think for me, it was almost like I had this just this unbelievable success and excitement surrounding that 2014. I was 19 years old. Like, it was very unexpected, very exciting. That kind of catapulted me into the public eye and into kind of a face of figure skating. And then I struggled a bit in the kind of those next 4 years. And that's kind of, for me, where I struggled the most, and what you're kind of alluded to. It hit me in 2018, and I really had a really rocky season. I let the pressure get to me. It hit me hard. And I kind of hit my rock bottom. And so now it's more, obviously, every time I go out there, I want to be the best athlete I can be. I want to represent my country to the best of my ability. I kind of went through my nightmare and lived through it. And so I'm not as like fearful or stressed out the way that I was leading into 2018.
I'd love to know the mental anguish you go through when you're actually competing, because I mean, I read you landed a quadruple in international competition for the first time a couple weeks ago,
first time.
But then you also said you were disappointed with how you finished. Like, I can imagine, like a baseball player, for example, hits a home run, but then strikes out the next three times, probably still walks away from the day saying, "Hey, I had an okay day." You land a quadruple, still. You know, I just want to know, like, when you're on the ice and you hit that, do you feed off the energy saying, yes, I hit that point? And does that kind of make everything else seem easier? Or is it harder after you land and think, okay, now I've got more points that I've got to hit before this thing's over?
Yeah, I think in figure skating, it's definitely, you have an entire program. So it's not about one element, one moment. Like, you have to be kind of, or for me, I get really just hyper-focused in the moment, and I don't really let myself truly take a breath or truly take a step back until the music completely stops and I hit that final pose. So yeah, so for me, you know, there was a huge victory at the beginning, but I'm always after, I don't want to say perfection, because I know perfection isn't attainable, but I'm always after to be as perfect as I can be, and going after, you know, in our sport, we are judged not only with our technical score, we have these base values for the elements. We also get this these GOE, grade of execution marks, that range from -5 to +5, that we are really after to garner even more points when we are doing our program. So I'm really after getting as many of those +5s as I possibly can. And so, yeah, I think, you know, there are times where the program is just made of so many different things. I think you mentioned, that was a really cool analogy with the baseball players. I think it's like, you could have this amazing home run and then get so frustrated that you struck out, you know, the next round. Like, I think that there's all these, and so I think for me, when I think about the Olympics and what I want to accomplish, and you know, I want to be on the top of my game, I don't want to make a silly mistake where I do something that I've worked so hard to accomplish and nail it, and then I make a silly error later on in the program. So I think for me, it's just more, I'm more after just being as solid and strong as I can be and not slipping up on silly things.
Do you think much during your program? I mean, do you just kind of put the veil on and because when you do make those mistakes, I mean, for most people it would be crushing and they'd just want to skate off and be done. You have to keep going. So I guess the question is, I mean, a lot of athletes talk about flow, you know, once you're on the court, once you're on the track, once you're in the pool, you just do everything that you've trained to do. And you're not really thinking, you're just letting your body react and letting your body memorize. And you're, mm-hmm. you're trying to go through that. Or do you kind of get heady and you think, okay, I need to do this a little bit more. I maybe it's a battle you wage during your program.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, I think ideally, yeah, you want to be in that flow state. You want to be like, you just go, good or bad. You're just kind of, I wouldn't say total autopilot, but you're able to just, you don't think about it. You don't dwell, you move on, good or bad. And that being said, it's not how it, 80%, 90%, 90, I would even say 95% of the time, it doesn't go that way. You know, you are constantly, there's your, you know, the factors, whether it's you get tripped up by looking at a judge, or you know something catches your attention in the audience, or the ice quality, you know, gets your attention. I mean, there's always something, or you pick in a hole that someone else just jumped in. I mean, there's always other kind of factors at play, but ideally, you know, all you can do is, and ideally the goal, at least for me, is just being as kind of focused and in the moment, and just like you keep moving through it. And I think, you know, it's not until the music finishes where I really let myself kind of analyze or really reflect on what just occurred, because that once the music starts, I am going until the music ends. I will not let myself stop.
Are you still tinkering with your programs right now? I mean, is what we're seeing you doing on the ice, the Grand Prix, and wherever you're competing, the same thing that we're going to see in Beijing, or, you know,
music wise? Yeah. Music wise, yes. But as far as the programs and the layouts, they're ever evolving. The choreographers are always changing little pieces of them. The coaches were always making certain little adjustments to the patterns with in and out of the elements. So that will always change a bit. And so I always laugh. No two of my programs you'll ever watch are going to be identical. But I think that's just the fun of the art form that we, you know, that skating is, that we're always mixing it up.
The Olympics always have certain sideshows going on, whether it be political, safety concerns. I mean, is that something that you stay on top of? Are you following what's going on in China? Are you following what's going on with safety protocols? Or are you, I'm just worried about what's going on in the ice and I can't think about that too much.
Yeah, you know, right now, it's really kind of the latter. I'm really focused on the ice. I'm really focused on what I can do to represent the U.S. to the best of my ability. You know, I've worked so hard for this moment. So to be as prepared as I possibly can for when it arrives, you know, there's so many other factors that are not, you know, in my control. So I try not to think too much about that, especially when it's, you know, every single day you're going in to the rink working so hard on these programs to get sidetracked with something that's just ever evolving as well, like always changing, you know, keeping up with whether it's, you know, like you mentioned, politics and what's going on. It's constantly changing. And so I just, you know, right now I'm focused on the skating and trying to represent the U.S. the best I possibly can.
Do you feel good though about the safety protocols that have been in place at your competitions and what the USOPC has put in place going there, that, you know, COVID wise, that you'll be safe, you'll be fine?
I have complete trust in them when it comes to COVID and the safety protocols that they have done. At this point, I feel like I've now done about 6 events in a bubble across the world. And so I have competed numerous times in numerous countries, and, you know, every time I felt very safe, very secure, the way that they track us, the way that they test us. So I feel lucky that I've been able to perform and to keep competing, and at the same time, do it in a way that does feel very safe and manageable. And now it's almost routine. There are a couple extra steps and a little more stress added to the schedule. That being said, as far as safety wise, I know when we do it, that is not my concern at all. If an event's to go on, I know that I'm safe.
This would be a different Olympics experience, though, than you'd be used to.
Yeah, you know, I'm so fortunate that I have been to an Olympic Games and had that experience. And I think going back to what we talked about, like at the very beginning of our discussion, I'm trying my best to look at it in the most positive way. The fact that we do get to compete, the fact that the Olympics are happening. For me, it's, you know, like what we said, as you get older, you know, other factors that are pulling you in different directions, it's harder to calm your mind and you start to think a lot more. So it's almost, I'm trying to look at the bubble as a way of just being very focused. You know, I've trained for the skating portion of the Olympics. And so that's what I'm going to get to do. There's not so much pulling you in different directions and the getting, you know, swept in to all the other, you know, excitement surrounding the games. You're really focused to do what you came there to do. So I'm going to be focused on that. And so I'm looking at it as in the most positive way that I can.
And you're wearing the uniform. I saw you got to model the new winter uniforms, which looked pretty sweet, by the way. Tell me about that experience.
Okay, I am telling you, they are incredible. I'm obsessed with what Ralph Lauren has done. From the opening ceremonies, the village wear, the closing ceremonies, like these outfits are incredible. Like I can't speak more highly of them. It's also really cool that they're all made in the US. They're all from sustainable fabric. I mean, it's a really... And just to be part of that brand and get to be associated with Ralph Lauren is a dream come true. I have.
Did they reach out to you, or did you reach out to them?
Yes. Yes. So it's so crazy. Yes. Yeah. They asked if I would be one of their Olympic athletes this year. And it didn't take much thought to say yes.
Gotcha.
You came out this summer. What was kind of your thought process of the timing of all that? Did you want to get that out there before the Olympic cycle began? Was it something that you had been considering for a while?
Yeah. So I think for me, I've been so fortunate where I've always had this incredibly supportive family. I've always had incredible LGBTQ plus role models around me, and they all were so differently. They were all so different and all so uniquely themselves that I never really felt like I ever had to define myself or figure out who I was. And for me, I've always been so focused on the sport and on training and balancing that in school. Like, I never really had time for a relationship in any sort of way. And I think just over time and through kind of my 20s, I started to realize I don't even say to come to terms with, but really, really understand that I was gay. And I it was the same type of thing. I didn't think twice about it. When I kind of came to grips with that, I had talked to my parents about it. Like, it was a very normal, I was very fortunate that the process was very normal and felt very natural. And then it was during COVID when we all were really that first summer and everyone was having such deep conversations and discussing, you know, whether it was political issues, whether it was social issues, and being open about their experiences. And one of those things was about LGBTQ plus rights and people's experiences coming out and coming to terms with their identity. And I was so shocked by people that I was so close to that I always knew were gay. And I always, you know, thought that it was natural as well. It was so difficult for them. And the road to coming out was so tumultuous in a lot of ways and hard for them to come to terms with. And I think for me, it was the first time that it hit me that it was because of all these people that have come before me, like really, it was so natural for me. The path was laid. I didn't fear what that would mean for the sport. I didn't fear what that would mean around my family. And so I really wanted to say something at that point, but the words weren't coming out the way that I wanted them to, and it wasn't formulating right, and it wasn't weighing on me, so I didn't feel like the need to get it off my chest. And then it wasn't until a year later, which was this summer, that one night I was like, it was during Pride Month, and I wanted to say something again, and I wanted to figure out, like, but I wanted it to feel right. And one night I couldn't sleep. I wrote a paragraph or two down, which happened to be the words that I posted. And I like remember just being like, oh my gosh, like it just came out the way that I wanted it to and the way that I intended it as far as the meaning behind it. And I told my extended family and my closest friends, just being like, hey, heads up, I'm posting this, just so like it's not something you like see online before you hear it from me. And I like 2 days later I posted it.
And the feedback has been
only positive. I mean, I think what I'm so, and I can't say this enough, and I'm so thankful for it, is that I didn't expect anything less. Like, I didn't expect anything. Like, my day before I posted, the day of, the day after, like, it was all the same. Like, I remember a week later, someone ran into my mom at like a grocery store and was like, hey, I just want to say like I love Jason's post. Like, congratulations, I hope he's doing great. And my mom was like, what did he post? Like, what happened? Like not even thinking a week ago. Like, did he post something today? Like, did something happen? Like, because it was so, it's so not, it was so normalized in my life.
What's the state of U.S. figure skating right now, heading into Beijing?
you know what? It's going to be a really, really, really exciting games for U.S. figure skating. The team event will be is like the first event that kicks off the Olympics in terms of figure skating. And we have a really, really strong team. We are definitely vying for a spot on that podium, which is really exciting. And then as far as each individual event, we have a lot of really just strong, seasoned competitors. We're at that stage, like, you know, every sport goes through different cycles, but we're at this stage in figure skating, at least, where everyone is very seasoned and very, like, this might be everyone's second Olympics, or, and whether they didn't go to the Olympics last time, the second Olympic cycle. Like, it's a very mature, very ready, really ready Olympic. I want to guess, I should say hopeful team, because they're not, it's not announced yet. But no, it's really exciting. The men's event, we have a couple of, like, a really, really strong event. I mean, the Grand Prix final is next week, and there's three of us going, which is huge. There's only six people that qualify. So the fact that there's three men, you have three of the top men in the world from the U.S., which is so, so exciting. The ladies event is going to be exciting. Dance, you have two world medalists going, and which is going to be amazing. You're in for a real treat.
I always find this part of the season interesting, because you're competing against them, but they're also your teammates, yeah. Right? I mean, the nice thing is you're not actually, like, you know, getting it. You're not actually, like, fighting them or racing them or anything like that. You can cheer from them and still hope that your score is a little bit higher. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, and until, you know, the dust settles, you know, you're competing against each other.
Oh yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. It really, really is. You are fighting for the same spots. I think what's fortunate about the Olympics, well, I guess you can say fortunate or unfortunate. when it comes to qualify for the event, we have already qualified three men's spots. So, you know, that's exciting that you're not, at least you're not, it's not like only one person gets to go, you know, and you're fighting for that one spot. So luckily there are a couple, I'll call them chances, but a couple opportunities, in that sense. But no, it's a hard part about the sport of figure skating. I think it is, you're competing against each other. And at the same time, you're out there alone. It's nice to push each other.
So what's next for you specifically here? You've got the finals, and then, like, when do they name the team? What's kind of the step-by-step up to Beijing?
Grand Prix final, I will leave on Sunday, the 5th of December. And then it's all next week. I'll probably return the December 13th from Japan. And then I leave January 6th for the U.S. Championships. And on the 10th or the 9th, around the 9th, the team will be announced. So
where can people follow you on your journey? You got, you update social media quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at Jason V Skates on Twitter and Instagram.
Of course, we'll continue to follow Jason's quest for gold over the next few weeks. I'm Ryan Burrow, and we'll bring you a new episode of Quest for Gold next week as we march closer and closer to the 2022 Winter Games. We'll see you then.